chapter 3 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Corinthians 3:2. If you have that, we ask you to stand and stretch for a moment. In honor for the reading of God's word, it's just a short verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2 says this: "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Read that one more time. "Ye are epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." And this morning I want to talk to you about known and read of all men. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Dear Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you bless this time this morning. Father, I pray that you'd fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. Use me this morning, Lord, for these next 20 minutes or so. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. "You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Look at any page of your Bible, God's holy word, of course. Look at any page, and you observe that little piece of paper, and you have to realize that once it was a part of a tree that was a part of a forest somewhere. It was a seed that was planted in the ground. From that seed, it eventually grew and eventually became a full-grown tree. And that tree, over a period of time, had no doubt, or had without a doubt, any choice but to weather many a storm that came across that tree. I wonder how many hurricane and tornado type winds blew across some tree that a piece of paper that's written in, or that's put in our Bible. I wonder how many trees withstood the driving rains and the storms and the lightning bolts coming by. I wonder how many tornadoes almost blew down one of those trees. I wonder how many had faced wind gust after wind gust after wind gust, thunderstorm after thunderstorm after thunderstorm. Think about one piece of paper in your Bible and all that the tree that it came from might have had to withstand in the form of storms, just so you could have printed on there what's printed on there and put in your Bible what's put in there. We did not receive this piece of paper easily, the gospel that's put on it anyway. Someone had to plant a seed. The seed had to germinate. The seed then had to grow. Then it had to withstand the rough weather that's out there in this world. There would be no epistle, which is what these are called, this 2 Corinthians and other books here, the epistles, the letters that were written. This particular one written by Paul. But there would be no epistle without a tree being cut down. There would be no epistle without a piece of paper to put those words on. That's not all this morning. It had to be processed into paper. It had to be purchased. Someone had to pay the cost for the epistle, amen. And that's not just all of it right there, but it had to be owned then by the purchaser. That's not all either, though. There had to be some type of a printing press somewhere that could print and put on this piece of paper. It had to put an impression on there. That's what they call that, put an impression on that piece of paper. So the truth is that the piece of paper is an impression, and this piece of paper then is put into the form of an epistle that I can read in my Bible and you have in your Bible. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Think about what it costs for you to hold this piece of paper, these pieces of paper in your hand. Think about what it costs. Think about what it took to put the scripture out on it. It took planting. It took growing. It took withstanding many a storm. If it had not withstood the storm, then it would not be here as the piece of paper that you and I hold in our hands and we call the scriptures this morning. The tree had to be cut down. Had to die. It was in processed, purchased, owned, printed on, and then and only then could it be read by someone else. The Apostle Paul wrote the church of Corinth and said, "Ye are my epistle." Now, just as this epistle is called scripture, and did not come cheaply, neither will it be a cheap purchase for you and I to become God's epistle. Amen. Won't be cheap. You and I are, and Christians are the only gospel that some people in this world will ever get. This world is careless and doesn't pay attention to much, and to some, you'll be read as just a scoffer's creed. That's all. That's all I'll be. That's all some of you will be as epistles for God. That's all. But we are, in some ways, the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with works of others than His work, meaning God Almighty? What if our feet are leading where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking things that Christ would spurn? How then can there be any hope for this world? We are His epistle, to be known and read of all men. Think about that. To be known and read of all men. We can take filth, blood, and garbage and smear the piece of paper containing the scripture, and though the epistle is there, you won't be able to read it because you can't make out the words clearly. That's why we ought to live clean lives, folks. We are His epistles. We're His epistles. That's why we ought not to live like the world lives. For we are His epistles. The world doesn't like the words that I read off the piece of paper. For in fact, the big battle in America today is over the inspiration of those very words that exist in our hands today. The issue is not over women's rights. The issue is not over whether the King James the issue is over whether the King James Bible is inspired or not. The issue is not even over abortion, and I'm against abortion, of course, but it's rather over whether the King James Bible is inspired or not. The battle is being fought today against the King James epistle, whether it's preserved and inspired or not. The world does not like what is written on the King James epistle. And unfortunately, some think that they know more and criticize that. But listen, folks, it is God's preserved word. It is important. And it is the epistle that God wants for us to have. It is inspired of Him. The question today is not whether the world likes you or not, for the question is concerning the message that Jesus once sent. Amen. To all the world, to the regions beyond even. Amen. Like our song this morning. You are His epistle. I am His epistle. Not written on tablets of stone or paper, as it says in the Bible. Please follow my reasoning. A seed was planted in Paul. So how was a seed planted in Paul? I'll tell you this morning how the seed was planted in Paul. It was planted, I fully believe, in the death of Stephen that took place. The Apostle Paul was a young man known as Saul of Tarsus at that time. He was holding the coats of those who killed the deacon Stephen. He watched Stephen die. He heard his great sermon while being persecuted and martyred. He heard him say that he saw heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. The apostle saw Stephen die and heard him say, "Lay not this sin to their charge," as he died. At that very moment, I believe something started to prick the apostle Paul's heart. Do you know why? Stephen was an epistle. being known and read at that very moment by Paul. He was an epistle known and read of all men. Known and read of all men. Oh, I believe that Paul read the epistle of Stephen, not on tablets of stone or on pieces of paper, and not with ink, but the Savior himself imprinted into a Baptist deacon who died preaching while he was being martyred. It was a clear message from God, and Paul could not remove Stephen from his mind. A seed was planted in Paul, and it was Stephen's sermon and Stephen's death in Acts chapter 7 that I believe mentioned in Acts chapter 9 when he was on the road to Damascus and the bright light shone and he fell down. And a voice from heaven said to him, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." I believe the pricks already started in Acts chapter 7 at the death of Stephen, because he was reading an epistle. The epistle of Stephen. The way he lived, the way he died. The words he spoke as he died. That's not all. In order for the Apostle Paul to become an epistle, he had to weather some storms, folks. If you and I are going to be a great Christian epistle, you and I are going to have to weather storms sometimes. You're not going to go through life eating, drinking, and being merry and having a good time with no enemies, no battles, or no fights if you're going to stand for God at all. The greatest churches that have ever existed have weathered the storms. The greatest Christians that have ever lived have weathered the storms. Read Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. I've read it before, so others of you have here. He has a seed planted. He grew and weathered some storms. Thus we have Pilgrim's Progress. There's no other way. You and I must weather some storms if we're ever going to do anything great for God. It's just the way it is. Dad, you must weather some storms. Mom, you must weather some storms. Son, you must weather some storms. Daughter, you must weather some storms. Student, you must weather some storms. Young preachers must weather storms. College students and soon-to-be college students must weather storms. It's necessary to weather the storms of life if you're going to be what God wants you to be in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 4 and 5 says, "In afflictions and necessities and distresses, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings." What was God doing? He was making an epistle not written of stone or paper or with ink. But God was making an epistle out of the Apostle Paul. No epistle that could come if the tree continues to just grow. Thus the Apostle Paul was cut down. He died as a martyr. And today the Apostle Paul is considered, I think, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived throughout history. It was not because he was a good-looking man. For truth is, he probably wasn't. So it wasn't because of that. He was a little man with bad eyesight, actually. His speech was tough. Had a speech impediment. Probably had an irritating, squeaky voice. The Apostle Paul is considered today to be one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, if not the greatest Christian. Many the greatest Christian. I think he's probably the greatest Christian ever lived. But why? Because he weathered storms, that's why. He could not have become an epistle without weathering some storms. And all the great Christians throughout history have had to weather storms. Fanny Crosby had to weather storms. You boys done talking now? Are you? Good. She was a great songwriter. She became an epistle. She wrote many of the songs that are in the hymn book sits before you in the pew today. Why did she become an epistle, and how? Because she was blind. She weathered the storms of her blindness. She wrote wonderful songs. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I am to gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. The truth is that the Christian life is not a life of playing patty cake, as some do, but it's a battle, boys, amen. It's a battle, amen, for those that choose to get in the battle, amen. God did not call us to some lemonade and pink tea and lemonade party type of a thing, amen. That ain't what God called us to, amen. God called us to get involved in the Christian fight, the spiritual warfare that goes on, amen. There's an enemy out there, it's called the devil, amen, and he hates you and he hates your family. He wants to destroy you and he wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to ruin you any way that he can. It's a battle, folks. Paul said we are soldiers of the cross, and if you and I are to be epistles, we must weather the storms. Do not be surprised when someone attacks you. Do not be surprised when enemies envelop. Do not be surprised when you start to have any kind of success for the Lord if you see more enemies popping up all the time. Don't be surprised. When God's people mean business about God's word and about winning souls and getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out, it's going to irritate this world, folks. It's controlled by the god of this world, the devil. It's going to irritate him. David Livingston, if this great missionary had just surrendered to the mission field and gone to Africa to build a little church building, no one would have bothered him and no one would have ever known him. However, a seed was planted in him. He was pressed to win Africa to Christ. And when he did, the storms came. He weathered them, and thus he became an epistle. He has motivated and encouraged millions and millions of Christians throughout the years. One of the great philosophical debates today is whether or not you have the right to own your own life or not. The world says, I am my own man. However, God says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Got to remember that. David Livingston was a great Christian, a great missionary to Africa. He weathered storms. He weathered the storms. Charles Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers. He was a great preacher, preached great sermons. But because of his life, he suffered. He weathered storms. He died to himself. His life was not his own. He gave his life to Christ as well as his soul, and he became an epistle. Now let me give you a very quick, let me summarize everything up of what makes an epistle this morning. Number one, an epistle must have a seed planted. An epistle must have a seed planted. Paul had a seed planted in him. Of course, nothing starts without a seed. New life always requires a seed. So you got to have a seed planted if you're going to have an epistle. Let me give you a second thing. An epistle must grow. An epistle must grow. Paul grew. Once the seed germinates, the growth process is underway. We must grow before we can be the epistle that God wants us to be. Number three, an epistle must weather the storms. I had a young tree planted in my front yard. It's been grown from a seedling. And I was always concerned about it when a severe storm would come up. Then the first year it had it planted, the winter came and some heavy winter storms came up and I was concerned about it. But you know, now it's 3 years old and I don't worry so much about it anymore. It's not a big tree yet, but it's gotten much stronger. It's weathered the storms. I've seen that it can take it. And so we must then realize that, hey, we must weather the storms also, just like that little tree had to prove it can weather the storms. We must weather the storms if we're going to be in a successful epistle for Jesus Christ. We must. We must. We must. Paul weathered storms. Number four this morning, an epistle must die to self. An epistle must die to self. An epistle must die to self. Paul died to self. Paul said, I die daily. Just what did he mean? He meant he died to himself every day. He died to his fleshly desires. He denied his own will. This is how he was able to show himself as an epistle to others. Paul died daily. Amen. Hey, number five and lastly, an epistle must be owned by a greater. An epistle must be owned by a greater. Amen. Paul was purchased and owned by a greater. Obviously, the greater is Jesus Christ. Amen. He purchased us with his own blood. He owns us. We need to surrender to his ownership, folks, so that we might be used of him as an epistle. Let's stand to our feet. That's just some things this morning about being known and read of all men.